Now that we have defined what a Markov chain is, we are ready to state the basic theorems which are used for Monte Carlo applications. So first, let's define the relevant family of Markov chains. We do not consider generic Markov chains, but we require the Markov chains to have two properties. The first property, which is crucial for all applications, is that the Markov chain is ergodic. Mathematicians call this property irreducibility. Ergodic simply means that it is possible to go from any state to any other state, not necessarily in one step, but given two states, x and y, there is an n such that pn xy is strictly positive. So the probability, there is certain number of steps, so that the probability of going from x and y is different from zero. For instance, in our example with two spins, it was not possible to go from state S1 to state S4. And indeed, P14 was zero. But the system, but the dynamics that we are considered was still ergodic, because of course, if you compute P²¼, so the probability of going from 1 to 4 in two steps, you easily see that this probability is different from zero. This is something that you can trivially compute, summing the four probabilities as we discussed in the previous slides. So this algorithm is ergodic. Ergodicity is a crucial property that we need to ensure in all cases. Then we have a second property, which is more a technical property, it's not really relevant, and essentially ensures that the system is not visited in a periodic fashion, so that we cannot subdivide the system in such a way that if you start in the first part of the system, for instance, at time t equal 1, you go necessarily on the second part of the system at time t equal 1, and then you go back. So, for instance, if you have the system that splits into two parts in which you go successively from part 1 to part 2, from part 2 to part 1, back and forth, this is a periodic Markov chain. We don't want to have periodic Markov chains. Periodic Markov chains are not something that we like, but it's mainly a mathematical nuisance. It's not really something which is strictly needed. But for the theorems that I will present in the next slides, we need an aperiodic Markov chain. So what are the basic theorems that are relevant? So the first theorem tells the following. Consider the probability that you go from x to y in n steps. If n goes to infinity, this probability converges to something which is called pi y, and pi y is independent of x. So asymptotically, the probability of being in y is independent of the state you started from. Whatever x was, the point at the beginning, at the end, you go to a state pi y, which is a probability. Here there are some technical problems when the state space is infinite, but for a state space, which is a finite number of states, then it's obvious that pi y is a probability because it's a limit of probabilities. And since it is a probability, it satisfies the condition that sum over x of pi x is 1. This is trivial. This is obvious for finite state spaces, but it's not so obvious in the infinite dimensional case. But what may happen is that pi x may be identically zero. So there is a limit in which there are cases in which pi x may be identically zero. We will never consider those cases. So for us, the interesting property is the first one, that tells you that the large n limit of pi n xy is a probability pi y independent of x. Then we have conditions C, which again, under the condition that pi x is not identically zero, something that we don't really care for Monte Carlo applications, then there is a condition which is satisfied by pi x, which is the stationarity condition, that tells you that the sum over x of pi x multiplied by pxy is equal to pi y. And pi x is the so-called equilibrium distribution. Then we go to theorem D, which is the important property for us, that tells you that pi x is the only probability distribution that satisfies the stationarity condition. Which means that if we find a pi x that satisfies the stationarity condition, that this pi x is necessarily the limit of pnxy for n going to infinity. Uniqueness condition. So there is only one pi x that satisfies the stationarity condition. And then the last theorem, which is the ergodic theorem, is the theorem that we'll use in Monte Carlo applications, that tells us that if we generate a process x0, x1, x2, xn using our matrix P, transition matrix P, then the sample mean of f of xn for any function f of x is nothing but the average value of f over the state space. So it's the sum respect to x of f of x multiplied by pi of x, which is the average value of f with respect to the distribution pi. And you recognize here that this is the basic theorem that we used when we were doing uncorrelated sampling. The sample mean for large values of f converges to the average value of f with respect to the probability distribution pi. The ergodic theorem is the main motivation for us when we'll develop dynamic Monte Carlo algorithms, because this tells you that sample means over the Markov process of points generated using the Markov process is equivalent, of course, when the number of configurations, when the number of iterations in our Monte Carlo language goes to infinity, to the probability, to the average value with respect to the probability pi. Then there is a worked out example in which we verify for our example that these theorems are correct. So let's go back to our transition matrix for the system of two spins. Just to get numbers, I set p equal 1/2. And so we write the transition matrix as the first matrix at top of page 10. And then we take products. I only write in the products the first three digits of each number. Of course, when you increase the products, there are many more digits, but I'm just approximating the digits. So I'm just writing down the numbers with three-digit precision. And as you can see, the matrix P changes, but for instance, P8 has this property that the rows are more or less equal. And note what is the property. So let's go back to page 8, the property 8 of the fundamental theorem. For large n, pnxy becomes independent of the row. So row 1, x equal to 1, should be identical to row 2, x equal to 2. Row 3, so pnxy becomes independent of the row of x. X is the row, remember, and y is the column of your matrix, becomes independent of the row. And as you can see here, P8 is more or less independent of the row. So it becoming very close to be independent. And of course, if you iterate at the end, you will get a matrix in which all the elements are identical. And each row is equal. And each row gives you pi x. So pi 1 is the element p11, pi 2 is the element p12, p13 pi 3 is the element p13 and pi 4 is the element p14. But of course, p14 is equal to p24 is equal to p34 is equal to p44. That because of the theorem. And in this way, we can estimate our probability pi, and you see that the probability pi gives to each state equal probability. So pi 1 is equal to pi 2, to pi 3, to pi 4, and they are all equal to 1/4. And pi x, this uniform distribution, is the equilibrium distribution of our Markov chain. You can easily verify that, indeed, the stationarity condition is satisfied, because you sum over x, pi x, pi xy, pi x is equal to 1/4 for all elements. So we get this sum, p1x, p2x, p3x, p4x. The summation in parentheses here is the sum over each column. You see, 1, 2, 3, 4 are the rows, x is the column. So we must sum the elements of the column. We go back to page 10, and you immediately see that each column is 1. For instance, the first column is 0.5 plus 0.25 plus 0.25, total 1. So each column is 1. So this summation is 1/4, and 1/4 is again the probability. So we have verified the validity of the stationarity condition. Then finally, let's go back to our original Monte Carlo methods in which we are generating uncorrelated data. And of course, this method of generating uncorrelated data can be considered as a very trivial example of Markov chain. This is the Markov chain in which Pxy is simply pi y. So we generate each new element according to the probability distribution pi independently of the point at which in which we were at time t equal t minus 1. So the point y at time t is generating according to the equilibrium distribution independently of the position at time t minus 1. And if you compute p square of xy is pxz pzy summed over z. But now the two probabilities can be replaced by pi's. So we have the sum over z of pz py. But now things factorize, and the sum over z of pz by definition is 1, and we get py. So p square is again pi, and any power is again equal to pi, and of course the limit in which the number of iterations goes to infinity converges again to pi. So all these properties are obvious, and analogous, it's obvious the stationarity condition.